it is always still possible to love God. It's still possible to be faithful to God. It's still possible to be true to God. It's still possible to do what God wants to be done at that time. And so, it took until the time of David. And very strange, when it's time for God to reveal something, sometimes people are not conscious of those things that are about to take place. Look over at the book of 2 Chronicles, at the building of the temple, and see the place that God chose in chapter 3, verse 1 of 2 Chronicles, in Solomon's time. It says, Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David, at the place that David had prepared for the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. Now, the Mount Moriah that was there long ago, hundreds of years ago when Abraham was there, was just a jungle. Now it was a developed place. But it so happened to be the same place Abraham sacrificed Isaac there, and God provided a ram. And it's the exact same place that David received God's forgiveness for the plague that came about. Now you notice something. The devil does not know the timing. The devil doesn't know everything. He's not omniscient. But the devil can smell and sense something about to happen. So about the time when God was about to reveal that it was time to build a temple, the devil was sniffing and sniffing around. And so you read your Bible, it tells us that Satan stirred up David. Satan was trying to do something. He was stirring up David to number his people. When God said in Deuteronomy, you shall not number them lest you take pride. But Satan was at work actively to stop God's dispensation. Because he thought if he could cause something bad to happen, it will postpone God's dispensation. That's what he's trying to do all the time. And he actually succeeded. And David numbered the people. And if you read carefully, it's recorded in 1 Chronicles 21, it's recorded in 2 Samuel 24. It tells us that in one case it says God tempted David, but you look carefully at the cross reference, it's a Satan who did it. Now why one reference book God, one reference Satan? Because at each changeover, you are tested. You are tried. And then sometimes we ask, if God knows everything, why does he test us? The test is not for God. The test is for you to know yourself. Think about every test that we take, physical test. How does the test benefit the tester? Tell me. In fact, it gives the tester more work. How does it benefit? It doesn't. It benefits the people who sit the test because you know where you are. So it's not God who needs to benefit from the test. We need to know where we are. Because if the test shows a weakness, let's say you're sitting a maths test, and you're tested in algebra, you're tested in calculus, and you're tested in trigonometry, and then you did very well in calculus, you did poorly in trigonometry, and you did okay in algebra, it tells you where you need to learn some more. So the test is not for the tester. The test is for you and I to know where we are. Because our head thinks of us bigger than we really are. Because of our self-consciousness, we tend to inflate our ego to think how great we are, greater than what we really are. You need to learn to be humble. Yes, Mr. Humble. Where's Mr. Humble? Yes. And we tend all to think that way, And think about it. Sometimes people say things like, you know, I don't know why everybody is talking about me. Oh yeah, everybody is talking about you, yeah? Now tell me, how many people? 1,000? How important are you that 1,000 people are talking about you? No, our heads are inflated. Our ego is so inflated. We think everybody don't have time. They don't have time to earn their living. They don't have time to do their own thing. They don't have time to mind their own cares of this life. They don't have time. All they do is sit around on the coffee table paid by somebody else and talk about you. Big deal. Yeah, they spend from the time they wake up till the time they sleep, they talk about you. Big ego. You really have a big ego. Right? No. Nobody is that important. We are all smaller than we think. That's why we need a test. Because a test reveals who we really are. Where we really are. How we really are. For our own humility. Because once you see the test, you can think that you know everything. But once you see the test, you know where you are. Right. Put you in your place. Right. And so, just for curiosity, right? Just for curiosity, you know, I did a little Mensa test, right? And just to see where I am, right? Now, I know I'm not among the 200s, definitely, after the test, right? But at least I know where I am. And they said, you know, after sitting the test, I'm just at the border where they say, look, if you really want, we can give you a written test under supervision. But that's to know where you are. Right? And it tells you, and then it tells you where your weak areas are. Because when I set a kind of correspondent test over the internet that they have, they test you in various areas. And I know which area I'm strong in, which area I'm weak in terms of my logical mental development. I wouldn't know if I didn't set through that. It's about how long? It's 1 hour over. But I know which area it is. Why? Because, you say, why do you need to know? Because most of the people I talk with, right, even my wife says, right, I could argue logically everything. And so, I just need to hit something to tell me, okay, you're not as smart as you think you are. Right. Which is good. So I know where my weaknesses are. So it's important to go through a test. And so at the time, God allowed David to be tested. And David felt miserably. Our great David felt miserably. Even though he had a few failures before and he overcame them. Yeah, the Bathsheba story was way behind him. But when he came to numbering the people, David called Joab and said, go and number the Israel. And Joab knew it was wrong. Joab was so disgusted with it. But yet he did it because he was commanded to. And suddenly, when God saw it, here comes the judgment. And so God sent Nathan, a prophet. One of the prophets was one of them. Nathan, Gad, one of them. There were two prophets who functioned in his time. And says, God says to David, I let you choose three things. Oh, when God let you choose, can be good, can be bad. And says, you can have 3 years famine. You can be pursued by your enemies. You can have 3 days plague. Choose. All are bad. Right? It was like choosing black, blacker and blackest. It's terrible. Right? What a choice. David realized he had done something wrong. But one thing the devil forgot. We are all capable of repenting. One thing the devil forgot. God is gracious. When we say we are sorry. And David says, oh God, I have sinned. I am sorry. And then David says something that must have touched the heart of God. Right? So that I can imagine Almighty God, right? Almighty God carrying the baby, right? So there's Almighty God carrying us in His arms, right? His long hair looks like Jesus with His beard there. And David says, I would rather, you know, be disciplined by you than by my enemies. I submit to you. You do whatever you want. You're going to spank me, kick me, slap me, punch me, step on me, trample on me, kick me. Do anything you want. I will submit to you because I know you are merciful. And God was. And through the mercy of God, God revealed. And David was in sackcloth and ashes, repenting away, fasting and repenting. He got all the elders also to repent with him, to pray and repent. And as they're repenting, God opened David's eyes. He saw the angel. The angel that was bringing the plague and judgment. And David, you know, cried unto God and repented. And God saw the suffering of the people and he stopped the plague. At the very place where the plague was stopped, David quickly said, get me an offering for the Lord. I'm going to build God an offering here. And he built God an altar. And on the very spot was where God chose the temple to be built. Now, how would you and I prophesy hundreds of years ago in Moses' time that God was going to choose a place? Now, all of us imagine when God chose a place that God is going to, you know, have 1,000 member choir singing hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah is from the Bible, Old Testament. It's an old word, right? Hallelujah. And then you have the trumpeters, 120, you're like, pop, 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 pop. And then you have, you know, all the singers sing, all the singers coming forth, and all the various harps, and all those things. And because it was time for God to reveal where to build his house, and they were all singing, David dressed in his lovely robes to dance around in. And he got all these dancers, singers, musicians, all the, and they were all singing, and then they were all waiting for God, and God would say, finally, after hundreds of years, I am now revealing where to build my temple. Now, get me a map, and I will show you the exact place, and I will send you a prophet, who will prophesy all the way to the place. He will be under my spirit. He can be blindfolded. And I will let him by my spirit. You just follow him. He will be under my spirit and I will make his legs walk to the place. And all of them follow. Boom, boom, choir and everything. And then they reach the place. God says, this is the place. Yay. Wouldn't that be nice? Glorious. But no. God chose a mistake to put the temple where there is. Out of a place of imperfection. That's it, God revealed it. Because God is not bothered by yours and my little mistakes. The only two things he doesn't want is to go against the Holy Spirit, the blasphemous spirit, to reject our Master and Lord Jesus Christ and trample his blood underfoot. Outside of that, he doesn't care, in a sense, how bad it is. He can still work through it. Isn't that marvelous? He can still work with your life. No matter what. There's an old traditional song that we used to sing among the Baptist youth. It goes, wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how sad. It really makes you sad. You're going to cry at the end of the song. Because we wasted so many years sometimes. But God is bigger than that. And then, the other side of the picture is this. When it's not God's time, do you notice? There's more than that. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, but there is some bigger picture going on that we don't realize. You can pray all you want, it will not change that bigger picture. But there's one thing that is important. Through all the bigger picture, realizing that we are in one small part of the picture, and in each part, God was going to do something. There's one thing that we all need to do. That is, we must be repentful, in great repentance, and we must be prayerful and seeking God. It doesn't matter how you've been, it doesn't matter where you've been. But in the spirit of humility and repentance, in the spirit of prayerfulness and worship, God will still keep revealing His plan. And some of you say, what am I going to do in between certain things that God has His perfect timing in? Divine.